Good morning. It's a good day. Beautiful weather outside. We had a good time last night with our candidate for the youth and family minister position. Hunter and wife Rebecca Zajac are with us this morning. If y'all would stand just for a moment for everyone to see you and know you. And so thank you. Be sure and visit with them today before you leave. Get to meet them. So it's exciting for us to have them with us today. We are, this year we have devotionals available, and those devotionals, I want to encourage you on that in just a moment, but we have a monthly devotional memory verse. And so the memory verse for this month, Philippians 4:13. This is an easy one, by the way. I can do all things through Him. That's the ESV. Through Him who strengthens me. All right. And so these devotionals are available on the table. We print them out a month at a time. So two per week are available to you. You can pick one of those up. You can, if you're like me and you don't keep up with things very well, if you can remember Sand Springs Church of Christ and .com, you can find these on our homepage link. They're very easy to find. Pull up on your phone. I want to encourage you and tell you this is not about if you've fallen behind or haven't done one of these at home, you know, in 3 or 4 weeks that it's futile now. The truth is each of these kind of stand alone. It's not about completing them all. It's about trying to get in the habit as a family of incorporating God in your family life at home. Now, the genesis of this idea was families with younger children and even teenage children. But we've made these available so that you may be a single widow, or you may be a young couple with no children or empty nesters. Whatever your family size, these are great to do at home. So I want to plug that really strong this morning. So today's lesson is about the only goal that matters. The only goal that matters. We'll start in Philippians 3:12, and we looked at this last week with our lesson about belonging to Jesus. But verse 12 says, "Not that I've already obtained this." And so this is Paul. He's talking about he wants resurrection from the dead. He wants to be able to go to heaven. And incidentally, we sang some songs about heaven today, if you didn't notice that. And that's on purpose. So he says, "Not that I've already obtained it or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What are you pursuing? You know, this time of year, probably more than any, we have projects. Garage sales are happening all of a sudden everywhere. It's spring cleaning time. It's let's get out and do something time. The weather is nice. Do you have any projects? Do you have any plans? Any hopes for your life? Any dreams? What are you chasing? I want to remind you that whatever earthly temporary goals you have, they need to pale in comparison to your one important goal, and that is heaven. That is heaven. You know, people will say there's this phrase, and I encourage you to use it to evaluate things in your life. The phrase is, in 100 years, is it going to matter? In 100 years, most things we get caught up in, maybe we might be excited about it, we might be stressed about it, we might be worried about it. Most things in 100 years, most of these things that we get so wrapped up in 100 years, they're not going to matter a lick. Not at all. And so our one goal that matters is heaven. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells this parable about sowing, the sower and the seed. And the seed represents God's word, and the soil represents different people. And what is their heart like? And so verse 20 says, "For what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." So this is a new Christian. In verse 21, he has no root. He has no root in himself. In other words, his conviction is not strong enough to withstand some trials that are coming. he's going to fall away because he's not strong enough yet. And so, but he endures for a while. When tribulation and persecution arise on the account of the word, immediately he falls away. And notice the word endures. You know, the Christian walk is a walk of endurance. And you are here in the family of God today. You've chosen this day to be with God's people worshiping. And that's wonderful. The question is, the important question is, in 2 months will you be? In 2 years will you be? In 10 years will you be? This is an endurance. And you will face trials in between now and then. And these trials will come in all kinds of ways. But these are kind of painful things. And so this type of soil, they fall away. They don't make it. They don't withstand it. Verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So the first one falls away because they don't endure. Problems come and they don't stay with it. This seed stays with it, but they're not fruitful. They're maybe in a worship service on Sunday morning, but they're just body only. They're not fruitful. They're not serving. They're not producing. They're not working. And the truth is, your earthly goals may be the reason you don't reach your heavenly goals. Your earthly goals. Now, we live in a society as Americans. We're doers, by the way. We're doers. Now, I know we get a little more lazy each generation, maybe. Maybe. That's what they say. Might be true. I get older, and my opinions change on... anyway. So, but we're Americans, and we're doers. And we've... You know, this nation is powerful. We have goals. I mean, we get out and get it done. Pull yourself up by your boot straps. I mean, we have sayings that reflect how we feel about life. We need to be careful about our goals, because some of our earthly goals or goals for our family or our kids, these earthly goals can keep us from making our one, the only goal that really matters, our heavenly goal, happen. And so, notice that the deceitfulness of riches, you can be deceived by something you're chasing that seems good, and it can be career, it can be, you know, just financial ventures, it can be, you know, chasing financial things or the cares of the world, it can be all kinds of things that we get excited about that keep us, they don't cause us to quit God, they just keep us from being fruitful. We're not producing. And so, if we look down further in Philippians 3, verse 17, he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Do you know anyone who's walking the Christian life? Someone who they inspire you with their godly example. You know, they love God, they love people, they serve, they're just tireless, they're going for God. You know what I mean? Someone you look up to spiritually in the kingdom. And Paul is saying, hey, if they're following Jesus, let them, you know, drag behind them. Let them be something you can follow as we're pursuing the same goal. Keep your eyes on that. In verse 18, reading on, he says, for many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. You pause that for a minute. He's talking about they pursue pleasures. They pursue pleasures. Now, there are pleasures of all kinds on earth that, remember the Garden of Eden? God is a giver. I mean, the garden was wonderful things to enjoy, but the devil is enticing our entire world to go outside God's parameters of good and right and their destruction will be eternal hell. And so Paul's talking here about their mind. What are their minds set on? Their minds are on earthly things, which is a reminder for us to check, okay, what am I focused on? What is my mind focused on? Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And I appreciate what Steve said. I love the analogy and the example of a patriot, one who served in the military, who when it comes time for the national anthem, I mean, it means something to them and it never becomes old. And while that, with that said, I also want to remind us, as proud Americans that we are, God is not an American. And our citizenship, our true citizenship, is in heaven. And now Paul, think about the Apostle Paul. He was a Roman citizen, and that was a value to him for different reasons. And being American citizens is very valuable to us for different reasons, important reasons. But God's not an American, and he cares no more about American souls than he does Chinese souls or Russian souls, Brazilian souls. I mean, pick a place on the planet, and God loves every one of those souls just like he does ours. And so our citizenship, I need to have more pride in that citizenship than I do this citizenship, don't I? And how shameful it would be if I'm so proud here, but weekly taking communion, I'm not so proud of this citizenship. This one, I'll just run through. Let's run it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. But boy, when I salute the flag, you see what I mean? What our one true goal, what is it? All right, Colossians 3, 4. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Jesus says it a different way in Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, those are needs, by the way. They're not talking about what I want to wear today. What am I in the mood for? They're talking about, do I have something to put on to stay warm? But verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is your first priority in life? If you are, many of you are married, maybe you're married, but maybe you're single. You may live by yourself. Maybe you have children at home, so you're taking care of children or grandchildren. Maybe you're caring for an aging parent. What's your first priority? Maybe you're working a lot of hours, and your job is taking a lot out of you, but you're trying to provide for your family, trying to put food on the table. What is your first priority? Jesus reminds us this is your first priority. As Christians, this is my first priority. I seek God first and his righteousness. Everything else comes below that. And honestly, it needs to come way below that. God is my number one. He's my first. He's out front. Because seeking heaven is the only priority. It's the only goal that really matters in the end. Will I make it to heaven, and who else that I love can I help get there? Abby was younger and started participating in sports, I tried to get her to play basketball, mostly because it's indoors and I wouldn't have to be hot or cold at different times. But she wouldn't do that, but she did soccer. We started out with soccer, which I've always felt a communist sport, but I'm not accusing anyone of being a communist. I know there are a lot of soccer players and soccer lovers and soccer fans, so I'm not, but anyway, I joke about that. But I didn't know a lot about soccer at all. I knew don't use your hands, you know, and don't kick it in the wrong goal is what I knew about soccer. But when Abby played, I learned a little more. Then she played softball, so I learned more about softball, baseball, some of those things. I've learned more about volleyball. Now I'm learning more about tennis. So I just kind of learned more. But when she was playing softball, you know, I learned quite a bit. And so for you, I know a lot of baseball fans, softball fans. I'll give you a scenario. It's the final inning. It's the bottom of the inning. The score is tied. You're in the field, your opponent is up to bat, the score is tied, I remind you, bottom of the last inning. And they have a runner on third. And the ball is hit to the shortstop. And this is 10, 12-year-old girls, softballs. And so ball's hit to the shortstop. What does the shortstop do with the ball? You either go home or you watch home. Because in 10, 12 softball, if she throws to first, that runner's going to score. Game over. It doesn't matter that there's no outs. Did I tell you that? Sorry, you needed that. There's no outs. There's no outs. You would have got it with that. There's no outs. If she throws it to first, the run scores. So she fields the ball cleanly. She looks at home. The runner doesn't run. She does what we call, she eats the ball. She doesn't do anything with it. But she makes sure the one thing that cannot happen doesn't happen. That's all that matters. In that moment, in that game, there's only one thing matters, and that's runner on third. In hockey, they'll do it sometimes at the end of a hockey game. If a team is down by one and time's about to expire, you pull the goalie. Because it doesn't matter if they score another goal. We have to score. That's all that matters. And you pull the goalie because you now have one goal. And we don't need the goalie back there guarding the goal. So you pull him. And we understand what that looks like when we think, okay, I've got to really focus only. This is the one thing that matters. Have you ever carried things in the house and one of them's a cup of, grape juice? Imagine you're carrying a cup of grape juice and you got something else and you're I know it's weird. And you're carrying it, right? Or a red Kool-Aid. And you're carrying it through the house, and maybe you're walking over something in your garage because it's messy like mine, and you stumble, and if you have to drop something, you're not dropping this, right? I've done that before, and I've dropped the other things. I'm not dropping this. Carrying a baby and something else, don't drop the baby, Gregory, right? You drop whatever else it is. We have times like that when we have a priority. That's what this is about. Matthew 13:23. So let's go back to this parable about the seed. Jesus says, as for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. And I love that Jesus, he tells this and he shows that they don't all bear the same amount. And that reminds us, you cannot do everything that someone else can do here. In this congregation, you can't do what some people can do for different reasons. And you may not bear 100-fold in the kingdom of God, but you could bear 30, you could bear 60. And so we're each different. And God says to he who has been given much, much is expected. To he's been given little, little is expected. So God knows what we can do. And you may think, well, preacher, I'm just, it's all I can do to just come here. Or you may be watching from home and you may be thinking, preacher, I can't even come there. And I would remind you, the greatest thing you can do for God is the most effective thing you can do, and it's something everyone can do, and that's pray. Be a prayer warrior. Let's just start with that. Do you have time to pray? Do you have time? We all have time. If we think we don't have time, we do things. We drive. We have time. Pray. And in addition to prayer, many of us can do many more things in addition to prayer. Prayer is the most effective and powerful, but God needs us serving. He needs us producing fruit. What can you do? Can you encourage someone? Can you invite someone to church? Can you build someone up? Can you help in church functions, things that we're doing? There are so many things that we do. There's something for everyone. All right, Hebrews 9:27 says, just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is a It's a great verse or passage to remind us what really matters. Verse 27 is sobering, and it says there's a day when you're going to stand before God. All of us will. Everyone. We won't. If you're married, you won't stand as a married couple. You'll stand as an individual before God. And will Jesus claim us? Will God say, enter in, good and faithful servant? Am I a servant of God? Or will he say, depart from me, I never knew you? In that moment, that's all that's going to matter. And for eternity, it's all that's going to matter. And we'll look back on this life and we'll say, good gravy, how many things I wasted time on or pursued that really didn't matter or got upset about or worried about. Are we eagerly waiting for him? At the end of last year, when Mom passed away, you know, her health was going down, problems with her liver. She had problems with her digestive tract and had a hard time eating and sustaining weight. And so she just slowly went down. It seemed really slow, really over the course of a couple years. And then toward the very end, it was a Wednesday night, I didn't think she was that close, or maybe wouldn't even have been here, but we came Wednesday night. We asked her before we came, she said, pray for me. She could still talk a little bit, pray for me. And so we asked her, you know, what do you want us to pray for you about? And she said, quick. And so she did pass quickly. She didn't want to suffer, and no one does. So she passed before sunup on Thursday. I had seen someone die before, but I didn't know them. And so I was with, as a minister, I was with family, you know, as their family member. I didn't know them, but I had seen someone pass before, and I had seen many people close to death. But when Mom, you know, when you lose a loved one, They're with you, but they're barely with you, okay? And you've seen them sick, and you've seen them sleeping, but you've always seen them. And then when they pass, their soul leaves their body. And when that happened with Mom, I no longer had affection for her body because I knew she's not there. She's not sleeping. This body is dead now. She's not there. And so, and I didn't know how this might be for me, but I had no more attachment to her body. And my faith tells me her soul still lives somewhere. And my faith tells me where. But literally, in that moment, my only thought was, where is she? I know she's somewhere. Well, my faith tells me she's somewhere. My faith also tells me where, but I don't know. That's why it's faith. Right? Faith is, you don't see. You don't know. You believe. I believe strongly. But my point is, I don't know. And that question, it's not that I doubt that she's in heaven. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is, in that moment, all that mattered to me is, where is she? And that's all that should matter to each of us. Now, I'm telling you about that moment. That is how we should be every moment, because that's all that really matters. And so whether it's your marriage or your kids or your goals that you're pursuing in life, remember, there's only one goal that matters. Only one goal. And we need to remain focused on that. And so parents, grandparents, now is the time. You may be a single widowed member of this congregation. You can encourage younger ones here. You can encourage people. How can we get more to go to heaven? To be there for eternity. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. During this song, if you have something you'd like us to pray for you about, a need of some kind, maybe unrelated to the lesson, or maybe you'd like prayers for greater focus on the goal of heaven, or maybe you know you've never given your life to Christ, you've never submitted to baptism, never had your sins washed away, we'd love to help you with whatever you need if you'll come while we stand and sing.
If for the prize we strive after our labors are o'er, rest your